Earth's journey complete. Sacrifice marks the day. Feeble earth as a spread. Lights the believer's way. Feeble earth as a spread. Lights the believer's way.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series The Festival of Sacrifice in the beautiful month of Dhul-Hijjah al-Haram Alhamdulillah As this is going to be the final episode of the series and mashallah this is your Eid special transmission on your Madani channel. In today's episode and program we are going to discuss mercy on the speechless creation of Allah. Yes, that is our Qurbani animal, the animals in general, how we should be treating them, what are our Islamic values in this regard and they are dependent upon us, we are also dependent upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this ecosystem and inshallah azza wa jal we need to respect those that coexist with us inshallah azza wa jal doesn't matter that if they are an animal they hold less important than we do because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to have mercy upon the creation and they are also the creation on this earth and it is our duty to be compassionate towards them even if when we are sacrificing our qurbani animals We need to do it mercifully as Islam teaches us. Alhamdulillah, there are beautiful values that are taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Islamic law, if you read Bahar al-Shariat, there are methods of how one should go about the qurbani, meaning your knife has to be sharp, so you are not torturing the animal in order to make qurbani, but rather it's a swift process. At the same time, the toxins are not released when the animal is in pain and going through this suffering. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we are going to learn much more about it and explore it further as we go along today's episode and program. But let's inshallah Azza wa Jal, first and foremost, begin with the beautiful recitation of Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is alhamdulillah the beautiful parable of a man in Bani Israel. When he passed away, he was a sinful person. He had committed many sins and he had a notorious reputation of being a sinful individual among the Bani Israel. So when he died, what people did to him, how they dealt with his dead body, instead of giving it a proper burial or disposing the body of in a proper manner, what they did, they dragged his dead body by the feet, dragged it and threw it on a pile of filth. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he receives a revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal that, O Musa, there is this person, go and give his body proper ghusl, proper bath and proper burial. Musa alayhi salam, when he went to that area and he found out about, from people about this person, people of Bani Israel said that he was a horrible person, he was a sinful person. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal that, oh Allah, Bani Israel are saying that he was a horrible person, he was a sinful person. Allah Azza wa Jal says to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, said, yes, Bani Israel are true in what they are saying. Indeed, he was such a person. But there is something that he would do. Whenever he would open Torah and he would stumble upon the name of my final messenger, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would touch it with utmost respect, kiss it and send salat upon him, subhanallah. And due to that, I have forgiven him and I've married him with the maidens of Jannah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. Subhanallah. Such is the virtue of reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine a man of Bani Israel, when he recited Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was granted place, an abode in Jannatul Firdaus, Allahu Akbar. And he was also given the maidens of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon him such favors. And him being from the nation of Bani Israel, we being from the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his ummah, what would be our reward when we wholeheartedly recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We as the Ummah, we should increase our recitation of Salawat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as we can, whether it is the time of day or night. Subhanallah. There is a limit to everything, even virtuous actions, there is a limit. But Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that virtue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't put a limit to it. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahu Akbar. So what is the meaning of sending abundance of salawat? Or what is the least value of sending salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The ulama ikram, the pious predecessors, they have mentioned that the least amount of durood that can qualify for abundance, it is alhamdulillah 313 durood sharif. And this beautiful value has been taught to us in the beautiful environment of your Dawat Islami. And 313, this being the number of those devoted sahaba in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battlefield of Badr, Allahu Akbar. And inshallah azza wa jal, if we can keep up the pace with it, and Buzurgane Deen, they did not only send salawat 313 times, some pious predecessors would send 6,000 salawat a day, 8,000 salawat a day, and some even more than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq to send in abundance salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After sending salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's now together with our great muballighin of Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, we have with us Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Madani hafizahullah and Mawlana Ziyad Madani hafizahullah subhanallah. Let's together now engage actively in the naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this naat is in the words of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. He says,
Sabse aula aala mara nabi, sabse bala aala mara nabi, apne maula ka pyara mara nabi, apne maula ka pyara نبی دونوں عالم کا دولہا ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا اعلی ہمارا نبی سب سے بالا اعلی ہمارا نبی خلق سے اولیاء اولیاء سے رسول 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 اور رسولوں سے سب سے اولا اعلی ہمارا نبی سب سے بالا اعلی ہمارا نبی بزم آخر کا شمع فیروزہ ہوا بزم آخر کا شمع فیروزہ ہوا بزم آخر کا شمع فیروزہ ہوا نور اول کا جلوہ ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا ہوا سب سے بالا ہمارا نبی بجھ گئی جس کے آگے سبھی مشعلے بجھ گئی جس کے آگے سبھی مشعلے شمع وہ لے کر آیا ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا اعلی ہمارا نبی سب سے بالا والا ہمارا نبی کیا خبر کتنے تارے کھیلے چھپ گئے ہیں کیا خبر کتنے تارے کھیلے چھپ گئے کیا خبر کتنے تارے کھیلے چھپ گئے کیا خبر کتنے تارے کھیلے چھپ گئے پر نہ ڈوبے نہ ڈوبا ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا سب سے بالا والا ہمارا نبی
ارے اچھو میں اچھا سمجھیے جسے ہے اس اچھے سے اچھا ہمارا نبی سارے اونچوں میں اونچا سمجھیے جسے ہے اس اونچے سے اونچا ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا والا
ہمارا نبی سب سے بالا والا ہمارا نبی جیسے سب کا خدا ایک ہے ویسے ہی جیسے سب کا خدا ایک ہے ویسے ہی ان کا ان کا تمہارا ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا والا ہمارا نبی سب سے بالا والا ہمارا نبی کون دیتا ہے دینے کو منہ چاہیے 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 دینے والا ہے سچا ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا والا ہمارا نبی سب سے بالا والا ہمارا نبی
خلق سے اولیاء اولیاء سے رسل اور رسولوں سے اعلیٰ ہمارا نبی ملک کونین میں انبیاء تاجدار ملک کونین میں انبیاء تاجدار تاجداروں کا آقا
ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا والا ہمارا نبی سب سے بالا والا ہمارا نبی انبیاء سے کروں عرض کیوں مالکو انبیاء سے کروں عرض کیوں مالکو کیا نبی ہے تمہارا ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا والا ہمارا را نبی سب سے بالا والا ہمارا نبی سب چمک والے اجلوں میں چمکا کیے سب چمک والے اجلوں میں چمکا کیے سب چمک والے اجلوں میں چمکا کیے الشیشوں میں چمکا ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا سب سے بالا والا ہمارا نبی
کون دیتا ہے دینے کو منہ چاہیے دینے والا ہے سچا ہمارا نبی جس کی دو بوند ہے کوثر و سلسبیل جس کی دو بوند ہے کوثر و سلسبیل ہے وہ رحمت کا دریا
ہمارا نبی سب سے اولا سب سے بالا والا ہمارا نبی
غمزدوں کو رضا مژدہ دیجے کی ہے غمزدوں کو رضا مژدہ دیجے کی ہے بے کسوں کا سہارا ہمارا نبی
سب سے اولا والا ہمارا نبی سب سے بالا والا ہمارا نبی
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبه اجمعین وسلم الحمدللہ after having recited نعت رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم and moistening our tongue and rejuvenating our spirit the spiritual height of our hearts inshallah azza wa jal by the praises of beloved Mustafa صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم let's revert back to our topic of discussion and that is having mercy on the speechless creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is the mute animals in particular the animals of qurbani as we have alhamdulillah explored a lot about the virtues of qurbani and its wisdom from Quran from the ahadith from authentic sources alhamdulillah now it comes down to how do we as those who are making qurbani how do we treat the qurbani animals or animals in general and what are the Islamic guidelines in this regard alhamdulillah there is a purpose for every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we humans we serve a purpose in this planet that is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we are is inhabitants and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the holy Quran walakum fil ardi mustaqarrun This is our planet, this is our home we call Earth. And we share this with other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the animals, they coexist with us. And they also serve a purpose. Allah azza wa jal has created all of the creation for some purpose. Similarly, animals have also been created for a certain purpose. Just like our purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are able to gain milk and meat from animals these are some of the benefits that we can derive and obtain from animals and we make a lot of things with these animal products such as cheese yogurt butter and meat products etc and they are products that are made with their skin, they are products that are made with their bones, they are medicinal properties in animal body parts, subhanallah. And other than this, we can buy and sell animals in order to create a business. Animals are also regarded as an asset, subhanallah. We have learned in the biography of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam that he owned a herd of goats, and mashallah. And every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they all grazed goats, mashallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his very childhood, when he was by Sayyida Halima Saadiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he used to graze her goats. He insisted that where my brothers go every day, she said that they go to graze the goats. He said, I would also like to go. Sweet. And he insisted, subhanallah. And look at his passion, because every Nabi that did this, it was in the gene of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to have done this. And this shows the leadership quality. And mashallah, there is a great wisdom in it. Mufassirin and the authors of Seerah, they have, alhamdulillah, written a great deal about it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at a very early stage in life, he also went and grazed the goats of Sayyida Halima Saadiya radiyallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Musa alayhi salam as well, when he was by the Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Shu'ayb alayhi salam, he also did the same, subhanallah, herding the goats. And later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him the prophethood. Allahu Akbar. Similarly, we see in the life of all the Anbiya Allah, they had some sort of connection with the animals. Yes. And they were very kind and caring towards them. And this, alhamdulillah, this was their spiritual training by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as to how they can show compassion to the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Actually, Munasab, subhanallah azza wa jalla, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself, after herding animals, being a shepherd unto animals, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught us as well so many lessons in that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had likened every one of us as well to people who are shepherds and herding a flock as well. Where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kullukum ra'in. Every one of you is a shepherd. Wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Every one of you will be questioned regarding his flock as well. So subhanallah azza wa jalla, that concept or mindset of watching over people, watching over that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed you in charge of, and that concept of showing mercy unto those below you and those who are at your mercy, that is there and given to every one of us. And subhanallah azza wa jal, these very concepts that we are learning now from the ahadith and the lifestyles of the Anbiya alayhi salam and the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are going to come into play when we are discussing today's material, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah. Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards that which is truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us always to speak that which is haq. Alhamdulillah, on Madani channel, we have, mashallah, great content from the website of Dawat Islami, mashallah, available to us. There is so much of beautiful material that you can read on the virtues of Qurbani, the virtues of Hajj, the methods of Hajj, subhanallah. And they are tafaseer of the Holy Quran, not one tafsir, but many tafaseer, alhamdulillah, done by your Dawat Islami. There is, mashallah, Siratul Jinan is there. And our Mufti Qasim Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, he has done another concise tafsir of the Holy Quran, mashallah, in the recent times. As well as there are other tafaseer done by our Ustaz Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah. And this tafsir is done straight in the English language, mashallah. For all the viewers or readers and the listeners out there who are native English speakers, they can benefit from the tafsir of Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah. As well as translations available of the Holy Quran, the translation of Kanzul Iman done by Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahab Qibla, and the translation of Kanzul Irfan also, it is also available now in English, mashallah, from the website of Dawat Islami. You can go to the website of Dawat Islami, click on the Quran section, and it will take you straight, and then you can choose the particular surah or the ayah and then choose the translation. Alhamdulillah, very beautifully done. And now, mashallah, we are here, and this the book that, alhamdulillah, we have taken some passages from. Cruelty to animals is haram. If you don't know how to treat this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you need guidance, you own pets. People nowadays own pets. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Qurbani animals are kept as pets. And later on, we sacrifice them in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mashallah, what are the rules and regulations? What are the do's and don'ts to keep animals? How to show compassion towards them? What are the things that we can do with them? And what are the things that we do to them unknowingly and we make them uncomfortable? Or we may hurt them unknowingly because we don't know. They don't have a tongue to speak. That's why we have chosen the name of the topic, the speechless creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can't fend for themselves. So we, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given intellect, to use it for our own good, inshallah azza wa jal, and for the betterment of the rest of the creation. And now, in this regard, there's a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the purpose of the creation of animals. And he says, "And indeed there is place for you to ponder in the example of the cattle. We provide you to drink from what is in their bellies, pure milk from between dung and blood, which is soothing to swallow for the drinkers."
Subhanallah.
So many benefits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put and has placed in the animals for us to benefit from. Everything is there for our ease of use, for our facility in life, alhamdulillah, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And animals, they serve this particular need for the human civilization. And from the beginning of the human civilization, we have been dependent on meat products, dairy products. Where all of this comes from? It comes from animals. Subhanallah, Sayyidi. So as we have, alhamdulillah, explored so far, what is the purpose of the creation of animals? Strict guidelines in the Sharia of Islam, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He himself would stop others if they were doing injustice to the animals. And mashallah, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not overburden the animal. And he showed others how to behave like a true human being. Don't become an animal, so to say, as we say colloquially in our own way. You know, don't behave like an animal.
Right.
So we should be better off. We should be the better ones to know the limits of a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's an animal, we know its limits. A goat cannot carry a burden of 100 kilo sack. So if we are doing that, we are doing injustice to that poor goat. Whereas an elephant, it can carry much larger load. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us intellect to use it in the proper way and to decipher what is right, what is wrong. And if it was done to us, whether we would like it. You know, let's say, for example, there's a person who doesn't have much muscle and he works maybe in some company and he works as a laborer. He's porting the goods from one place to the other, manual labor. And you see he's not in a pristine physical health. Would you give him a bag of 50 kilo cement to carry?
Not at all.
You wouldn't. Why? Because you would think that, you know what, I'm maybe your weight is like 70 kgs. Perhaps you can carry it. But that person weighs only 40 kgs. How is he going to carry it? So even now in sports also we see this, that, you know, when they sports, they only match with the people that are with similar weight. Let's say, for example, wrestling. Right, they'll put the candidates that are 70 kilo, 70 kilo on the either side. So the competition is fair and square. So likewise, using our own logic, inshallah, azza wa jalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us intellect. And using that, we can decipher now whether we are doing injustice to the animal or it is the right treatment or we're going about it the wrong way, inshallah, azza wa jalla. What are some of the yardsticks that has been provided by our beautiful deen of Islam in this regard?
Subhanallah, Munasab. You know, there is none better to look at other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who showed us how to treat animals with mercy. Because when we read through the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we come to know and understand that even the animals, they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and complain about the cruelty that their masters are giving them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would set those animals free. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has taught us to show mercy unto these animals, because they are such creatures that they cannot speak. If they are in pain, they cannot express their pain. Allah, like there was one person in which he was dragging his animal, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw him dragging his animal and causing difficulty to that animal. And he told him that, may you be put into difficulties. Take your animal to its death in a good manner, in a good way. Because that person was going to slaughter his animal, but the way he was taking his animal was not in a good way. In fact, it was causing harm to that animal. So, especially in the time of Qurbani, we see it's such a rushy day, and people, most people are treating the animals anyhow, and some are even hitting the animals in order to take them towards the place of slaughter. I mean, this is not something that is ethical, you know. It should be done in accordance to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It should be taken to the place of slaughter with love, with care, with kindness. And at times we see that most people, where the animals are being kept, most people are not giving it water and its fodder and whatnot. And thereafter, in the state of hunger, in the state of thirst, the animal is now being taken towards its place of slaughter. So, you know, this is also something that should not be done. Water and its fodder, food, etc. It should be given to the animal. The animal should be taken care of before its last moments, inshallah.
Subhanallah, Azza wa Jalla. Huzur Mulan Sahib was mentioning as well regarding the burdening of animals and the sort of difficulty that people tend to place upon animals. This is not limited to our Qurbani animals as well. That sometimes the loads that are being placed on animals becomes a bit much, becomes a little too much. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, in current days, in many first world countries, you could say, the tractors and vans, etc., are used to carry loads. But there are parts of the world where animals are used to carry loads, to the extent that animals are used to transport people as well. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this is permitted, it is allowed. Alhamdulillah, this is one of the benefits we receive from animals, that they can be used for transportation of people as well as goods. In the time of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even camels were used to transport goods. However, the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam had guided us that there is a certain amount that an animal can manage, that it can bear, and we shouldn't go beyond that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had even guided us regarding the length of time that we sit upon an animal. There was a hadith that I've read regarding the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advising us on this matter, that don't use animals as chairs. That you are sitting upon the back of the animal and you're having a conversation with someone at the marketplace, for example. Whilst that animal is simply being used as a chair, it is carrying weight when it does not need to take you from one place to another. So what should you do instead? You should come off the animal and then have your conversation. So in the meantime, you're not burdening that animal. We see, subhanallah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Holy Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Alhamdulillah, it's Allah's rahmah upon us. It's our good fortune. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not overburden us with more than we can bear. Allah doesn't place upon us that which we cannot bear. We too should think that Allah is so merciful upon us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not place burdens upon my shoulders that I cannot manage. Now when I am treating the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is it that I should place a burden upon it that is difficult for it to bear? I should only place that upon it which it can comfortably manage, and I should not overburden an animal. Islam teaches us this. Really, where else will we learn this? Alhamdulillah, it is this beautiful deen of Islam that guides us and gives us these sorts of beautiful guidelines.
Subhanallah, Sayyidi, truly remarkable, Alhamdulillah. And Islam has championed the human rights as well as animal rights.
Alhamdulillah.
And mashallah, the world has learned from the values of Islam. The rest of the world has learned, subhanAllah, a great deal. And we see the example of this, as Mu'asab has spoken, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he conquered Jerusalem.
SubhanAllah.
And we read in the accounts that when he was traveling there was one animal. And it was him and his servant. And they both would take turns riding the animal. They didn't overburden the animal at the same time. And they came up with a solution that, you know what, I'm going to travel a certain distance. And after that, you will walk. And after that, you will travel on the animal. You will ride the animal. And I will walk. And by the time they reached Baitul Maqdis, Jerusalem, it was the turn of the Khadim. So the Khadim said to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, no, you be seated there. Never mind, it's my turn, but I want you to be seated there. He said, no, we are the ghulam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's right is right. So it is your turn, you go there. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is holding the rein of the animal. Looking at this beautiful character of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were mesmerized. They were truly taken aback. This is the value of Islam, subhanallah, and without causing a single drop of spill of blood. The city of Jerusalem was conquered by Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala,
subhanallah,
just by his code of conduct. The second Umar, Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdulaziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, who's from the descendants of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he is the one whom I've heard Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatumul Aliyah praising his governance.
Yes.
Subhanallah. What a golden period of Islamic era that was.
Yes.
In his time, we see Islamic literature coming to a certain height, subhanallah. A lot of books of ahadith were authored in his time. He commissioned them, subhanallah, and mashallah. And he also had set rules and regulations with regards to how much weight a person can load on an animal. Like how we have in nowadays time, we have stations where trucks are weighed.
Yes.
If the truck passes certain weight, then it can't be given the permit to be on the road. Yes. Why? Because it can't bear more load than it can carry. Similarly, we are so concerned about whether the truck can carry the load, it mustn't cause an accident. But when it comes to loading the animals, we go to town.
All out.
So we are so considerate about something that doesn't have life, whereas something that has life has feelings, such as an ox, a cow, or a buffalo, or a camel. These are all the different types of animals that we place certain loads on them. Subhanallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala should give us hidayat and learn from these beautiful examples given in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the character of the Sahaba of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, the Sahaba, we can't now ignore the pets now when we speak of animals. Nowadays, in modern era, almost every third, fourth home has a pet.
Yes.
It is a norm. And whether you accept it or not, but people are keeping pets.
Yes.
And this is a reality. We need to speak about it. And now Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also had a pet.
MashaAllah.
Allahu Akbar. And if you think that you can't have a pet, take the cue from here, alhamdulillah. How did his name become Abu Huraira? Abu Huraira wasn't his name. His name now, if I recall correctly, is Abdurrahman. And that too, the muhaddithin are confused about it. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I was carrying my cat in my sleeve. He used to have long wide sleeve, and once he was in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the cat jumped out. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that occasion called him Abu Huraira.
Subhanallah.
And he loved this name so much so that people even forgot his name. What was his actual name, subhanallah, when the title was given to him, Abu Huraira? Do we know what the title means? It means father of the kitten, subhanallah. So alhamdulillah, I'm also the proud owner of two cats, mashallah. And they are very loving, alhamdulillah. And scientifically speaking, it's very therapeutic to keep cats as a pet. And alhamdulillah, if you are suffering from depression, that may be proven therapeutic to you. Alhamdulillah, as I've read some articles and blogs where people have suggested that keeping a pet such as cat and keeping a company, alhamdulillah, as Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu had, because we are following the sunnah of the Sahaba, subhanallah, there's nothing wrong with it. And by doing that, we are also learning to share the love and care that we need to give to this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah azza wa jalla. So when we keep pets, let's say for example, keeping a cat as a pet, or any other pet that someone may keep, some animal that the person may keep around, most importantly is that we pay attention to the rights of that animal. And that is what today's episode as well of this beautiful silsila is about the rights of these animals, the rahmah and the mercy we should have towards them, and avoiding being cruel towards them. If we are merciful towards the animal, that can become a means for our maghfirah, for our forgiveness. And if we are harsh upon the very animal, then that can become a means of adab. Regarding a cat as well, subhanAllah, you see, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala was one who kept a cat, and he treated it with so much of kindness and love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam referred to him as the father of that kitten.
SubhanAllah.
With so much of care and affection, he would treat that kitten. And then there's also a narration regarding a lady. There was a lady who would keep a cat as well. She would keep that cat but caged. She would not give that cat anything to eat, nor anything to drink, nor would she let the cat out to fend for itself to find any food or drink. And this lady, she is punished that she will be in the fire of Jahannam and her face would be scratched as well. She will be given adab by that very cat that she kept Allah in the dunya Allah, but did not give it its huquq, but did not give it its rights. So it is of utmost importance that if anyone is keeping a pet, whether it be a bird or it be a cat, or people tend to go exotic with this, they go with various different kinds of pets. MashaAllah, no problem, alhamdulillah. But provided that you are showing mercy to it and that you are not taking away its huquq, that you are not oppressing it, that you are not harsh or cruel towards it, inshallah azza wa jal, that mercy you are showing towards the pet, perhaps it can become a means of your maghfirah as well, of your forgiveness as well, for treating animals or human beings, treating the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with kindness often brings about beautiful fruit.
Subhanallah. So yes, we need to extend this mercy forward that we have learned from the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the Sahaba of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from our pious predecessors, and carry it forward and share it, alhamdulillah. And in this way, we can learn this beautiful value from one another. Because in our social setting, we are social beings, we learn from one another. Sometimes what we have, this maybe certain skill we have acquired, sometimes we learn certain things just by seeing others do.
SubhanAllah.
And mashallah, this can also be something that, you know, we have learned from our parents. Whatever they would do, we have inherited from them. Alhamdulillah, subconsciously observing them, and mashallah, those good qualities have also instilled in us. And similarly, inshallah azza wa jal, when it comes to showing compassion to the animals, especially the qurbani animals, we see that there is a lot of rough handling of the animals, the goats, the sheep, the cows or the buffaloes. Now that's where we need to take utmost care. Let's say, for example, there is a baki or there is a trailer where the animals are transported nowadays. Let's say, for example, the trailer has a space for 50 goats to sit comfortably. But if you can squeeze them in, you can fit 70 goats, for example. But in this case, they wouldn't be able to sit, but they would have to stand for the duration of time that they would be in transit, being transported from one place to the other. At times, those places can be very far. Maybe it can be 2 to 3 hours journey or 5 hours journey. And in this case, we are literally abusing them. Why? Imagine if you had to stand and travel for 5 hours, what would happen to you? And that too, squished together. That is a very wrong treatment to the animals.
Absolutely.
And at times, animals die. Out of 70 animals, you'll find 3 are dead by the time they are being transported. On whose head is the sin going to be? Are we prepared to repay for that mistake in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah azza wa jal will take account even from animals. The horned animals that had injured the animals without a horn will be questioned on the day of judgment. It will be taken to accountability. You think we can walk out scot-free if we can abuse these animals and still walk freely? No, there's a judgment day. And we need to fear that day of judgment. We need to answer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we ensure now, take precaution, take utmost care, like for yourself, How much care do you take when you are transporting yourself? Let's say, for example, driving, even commuting from and to work. Maybe it could be like 15, 20 minutes drive. But you sit in a comfortable seat. Make sure that the air conditioner is working on top of everything. So much care and so much of precautions we take. But when it comes to transporting animals, just shove them. Anyhow, anything goes. So only a heartless person would do that. Inshallah, let's not become that person. Let's become the merciful ummah of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let's again listen to the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he has stated, "Man la yarham, la yurham." One who does not show mercy and compassion will not be treated mercifully. And what goes around comes around. And this teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs to hit hard and hit home. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sayyidi, when it comes to the treatment of animals, these animals also, they make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine that we are abusing that creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's actively making the zikr of Allah. People sometimes just to go hunting, or maybe for aiming exercise, you know, for archery. Sometimes they even do it as a sport to make the live animals they target. And they get a pleasure and a kick out of it. I mean, the abuse is, this is another level altogether. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. What are some of the ways, Sayyidi, that we can incorporate to make sure the safe transportation of the animals, and that the animals are kept fed well and are treated with compassion, inshallah, Azza wa Jal? What are some of the steps and precautions that we can take?
Masab, I think, you know, in order to realize the importance of treating animals with kindness and with love is to adopt and to have this quality of empathy. Because without the quality of empathy, how can you feel what that animal is going through? For example, if a person has the quality of empathy, and if that person is putting, say, 20 animals into a small trailer and they all cramped up and stuffed, imagine if such a person was put into that situation, similar situation, how would they feel? Would they even be able to breathe properly? They would feel suffocated. They would be uneasy and restless. Now imagine an animal that is going through this, that cannot even speak, first of all, cannot even express its discomfort, its difficulties, and its pain. The only way to avoid all of that is by putting oneself in the situation of that animal. Then only one will realize, and one will realize the importance of taking care of that animal. Otherwise, they would be chaos all over. Animals would not be taken well care of. Animals would not be fed well. It will just be, they will be taken for granted and treated anyhow.
Subhanallah, Sayyidi, it reminds me what you said. It reminds me of a very remarkable share of Sayyidina Shaykh Saadi rahmatullahi ta'ala. He has mentioned in Gulistan Saadi that those who do not understand the pain of others, they don't deserve the title of a human being.
Allah. So yes, that's very profound.
This is actually the issue, real issue that you said, empathy. Empathy, actually the lack of empathy, wow, rather, is the root cause. Empathy, when someone doesn't have empathy, that's when we have these mental disorders.
Yes.
Narcissistic personality disorders, borderline personality disorders, and many other disorders where people, why can some people abuse you and not feel any pain about it, and not be considerate as to what they are doing to you? Because they cannot relate to that feeling what you are going through.
Exactly.
They cannot put themselves in your shoes, and that is called lack of empathy.
Absolutely.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us guidance and
Ameen.
Change our hearts for the better, that we have empathy.
So on this as well, we notice many a times this takes place, that people are not treating animals very well, that they're treating animals a little bit harshly, cramping them, their food and water is not being taken care of from time to time. Illa mashallah, there are certain people that alhamdulillah, they take care regarding these things. And the aim of this discussion is that we all take care regarding these things. What has happened in more recent times is you find that the world and the people around us, sometimes we ourselves as well fall into this trap where we become so materialistic that animals and sometimes even to the extent people just become objects in front of us. People consider that this is an animal that I've paid a price for. I've purchased this animal, and therefore they treat it like any other good. That the way they would treat, you know, a box or a stone or anything like that, they feel that it can be tossed around, it can be put here or there. Why? As long as my value does not decrease. If I paid a certain amount for it, and if I treat it in this way, will the value decrease? If the monetary value doesn't decrease, then I haven't lost anything. This mindset of being so materialistic that even the living creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not receive your mercy, this is a very dangerous mindset for us, because we will have to answer for our deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah. We will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer for the way we treated an animal. And if we treated them well, we receive the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ashab would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should we be merciful as well towards animals, and will we be rewarded for mercy towards animals? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would advise them that you will be rewarded for mercy towards everything which has a wet liver.
Allah.
Meaning every living being that you are merciful towards, whether it be a person or it be an animal or it be something that we consider so small and possibly insignificant as an ant. But if you are merciful towards it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that, and Allah ta'ala rewards you. Sayyidina Sulaiman ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam could hear the voices of ants. And when he heard the ants worrying and conversing amongst themselves that they are going to trample us, and Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam's army is going to trample us, not realizing that we are here. So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam heard the voices of those ants, that they don't want to be trampled by Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam and his army. And he smiled and he thanked Allah azza wa jal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him such a ni'mah that he could hear their voices, and now he could take care and be cautious not to hurt the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the rahmah of Allah ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala gave us as aql, and that we can try to show mercy towards them. It's important that we have these feelings of khawf-e khuda and empathy to be able to place ourselves in the shoes of the next person or in the position of the animal, so that we do not treat them badly and do not just treat them like they are a commodity that is bought and sold and nothing more than that. Yes. Allah protect us.
Ameen. Bijahin Nabi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the true understanding of deen. Let's inshallah azza wa jal go and listen to a beautiful kalam in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we'll be back shortly after the kalam. Do enjoy the kalam, and inshallah azza wa jal we will then move towards the conclusion of our today's episode and program. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi rahmat shafi ummat, Nabi rahmat shafi ummat, mujhe madine ki do ijazat. Nabi rahmat shafi ummat, pilao bulwa ki jaame ulfat. Nabi rahmat shafi ummat, agar nahi meri aisi kismat, sada huzuri ki paao lazzat. Agar nahi meri aisi kismat, sada huzuri ki paao lazzat. Rulaaye mujhko tumhari furqat, rulaaye mujhko tumhari furqat. Nabi rahmat shafi ummat, mujhe madine ki doh
نبی رحمت شفیع امت، عطا ہو مجھ کو غم مدینہ، تبا جگر چاک چاک سینہ، عطا ہو مجھ کو غم مدینہ، تپا جگر چاک چاک سینہ، پڑے محبت کی خوب شدت، پڑے محبت کی خوب شدت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، مجھے مدینے کی دو اجازت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، پلاؤ بلوا کی جام الفت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، لگاؤ سینے میں آگ ایسی، قرار پائے نہ دل کبھی بھی، لگاؤ سینے میں آگ ایسی، قرار پائے نہ دل کبھی بھی، رلائے ہر دم تمہاری الفت، رلائے ہر دم تمہاری الفت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، مجھے مدینے کی دو اجازت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، پلاؤ بلوا کی جام الفت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، میں نام پر تیرے واری جاؤں، میں عشق میں تیرے گھر لوٹاؤں، میں نام پر تیرے واری جاؤں، میں عشق میں تیرے گھر لوٹاؤں، ملے وہ جذبہ ملے وہ ہمت، ملے وہ جذبہ ملے وہ ہمت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، مجھے مدینے کی دو اجازت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، پلاؤ بلوا کی جام الفت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، حسین ابن علی کا صدقہ، ہمارے غوث جلی کا صدقہ، حسین ابن علی کا صدقہ، ہمارے غوث جلی کا صدقہ، عطا مدینے میں ہو شہادت، عطا مدینے میں ہو شہادت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، مجھے مدینے کی دو اجازت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، پلاؤ بلوا کی جام الفت، نبی رحمت شفیع امت، ہر ایک نبی ہر ولی کا صدقہ، تجھے تیری ہر گلی کا صدقہ، ہر ایک نبی ہر ولی کا صدقہ، تجھے تیری ہر گلی کا صدقہ، دے طیبہ میں مرنے کی سعادت،
طیبہ میں مرنے کی سعادت
نبی رحمت شفیع امت مجھے مدینے کی دو اجازت نبی رحمت شفیع امت پلا بلوا کی جام الفت نبی رحمت شفیع امت
مجھے تم ایسی دو ہمت آقا دو سب کو نیکی کی دعوت آقا مجھے تم ایسی دو ہمت آقا دو سب کو نیکی کی دعوت آقا بنا دو مجھ کو بھی نیک خصلت بنا دو مجھ کو بھی نیک خصلت
نبی رحمت شفیع امت مجھے مدینے کی دو اجازت نبی رحمت شفیع امت پلا بلوا کی جام الفت نبی رحمت شفیع امت
نہ ہو عطا اس کو مال و دولت نہ دیجے عطار کو حکومت نہ ہو عطا اس کو مال و دولت نہ دیجے عطار کو حکومت یہ تیرا طالب ہے جان رحمت یہ تیرا طالب ہے جان رحمت
نبی رحمت شفیع امت مجھے مدینے کی دو اجازت نبی رحمت شفیع امت پلا بلوا کی جام الفت نبی رحمت شفیع امت
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ویلکم بیک ڈیئر ویورز الحمدللہ آفٹر لسننگ ٹو دس کلام الحمدللہ وی آر بیک اینڈ بیک ٹو آور ٹاپک آف ڈسکشن شوئنگ مرسی ٹو دا اسپیچ لیس کریشن آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی دیٹ از دا میوٹ اینیملز اللہ اکبر اینڈ وی ہیو کورڈ الحمدللہ فیو اسپیکٹس ریگارڈنگ اٹ ود ریگارڈ ٹو دا قربانی دا animals of qurbani, how they are being transported, how they are being ill-treated, as well as when they are taken to the qurbani venue, they also we witness some malpractices. Let's say, for example, if you are slaughtering one animal, one sheep, in front of the other sheep that is going to come in next, that is now sending a message of cruelty, that this, you are next. Allahu Akbar. And if it was done to us, we wouldn't feel good about it. And we shouldn't let them go through this mental torture. Sometimes the torture is physical, sometimes it's psychological. And they also suffer. They're animals, they can understand. It's not that they are completely, they have no sense. They have a sense of compassion, they have a sense of fear, just like how we do. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, in this way, if we can manage our qurbani in such a way that when one animal is brought, then the other animal mustn't see the qurbani of one animal being done. And then after that, the blood should be cleared. And then the water that is used there, there's no blood of the animal that goes in there. Because sometimes the water is fed to the animals. And if the blood is mixed in it, then the same water the other animal is going to drink. And it's going to have a negative impact on that particular animal. So inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we can take all of this into consideration. And think wisely as to how we can make the qurbani process seamless and more efficient, inshallah azza wa jal, causing as little pain as possible to the qurbani animals. It can be an act of mercy, subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged it, that if we can be merciful towards animals in our qurbani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon us. Inshallah azza wa jal, I will now take a cue from our esteemed guest Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah to tell us some of the ways, inshallah azza wa jal, let's say for example the qurbani of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, as to how he would prepare, and what are some similar precautions that we can take, we can derive some lessons inshallah azza wa jal, and as well as in our Islamic fiqh we learn the method and the precautions that needs to be taken when we are doing the qurbani.
Alhamdulillah, Munasab, we see Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was about to slaughter his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, what did Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam tell to his father Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam? He told him that sharpen the knife. And the reason he told him to sharpen the knife was to make the slaughtering quicker and less painful. So from that we learn that when we are slaughtering an animal, and also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, the summary of which is that be good to your animals, sharpen your knives so that when you are slaughtering it, it is less painful for the animals. Be swift in slaughtering the animals, because if the knife is not sharpened, then how much of pain, that whole process, how much of pain that animal will be going through while you are still trying to slaughter it, how much of difficulties it will be going through. So that's one thing, is to sharpen one's knife. That too, it should not be done in front of the animal. It should be done in privacy, you know, in secret, at a separate place. The knife should be sharpened, and thereafter the animal should be slaughtered. And after that, we should also take into consideration the fact that when slaughtering, it should not be done so deep that the entire head comes out. It should not be till the extreme back of the neck. And once that is done, normally, usually what we see is that when the blood is oozing out, then people they quickly pour water over that. And imagine now if we have to get cut, right, if we have to get an injury and we pour water over that, I mean that's painful.
Fresh wound, yes.
Yeah, that's painful, and it burns. And normally what happens is if we put medication on it, even the medication itself burns. Now imagine the neck of the animal is half out and water is being poured over it. That animal, even in that little space of time, it's still feeling that sensation of that burn.
And also, Sayyidi, okay, can we not at the same time get a good hold of the animal?
Right, you yes.
Know, if we're holding it loosely, at times it has happened many times,
yeah,
in some cases in you know, big cattle such as, you know, the buffalo,
right,
and these animals, big animals that are very hard to handle. And at times it has happened that, you know, while in the process of qurbani, the animal got up,
yes,
and started running.
It has happened.
And how much pain and suffering will we cause the animal? So we should be the one to think ahead and to make proper arrangements so it can be kept in place, held together nicely well,
yes,
while the qurbani is being done, and as swift as possible, get it done and over with. Similar case is when we are doing the qurbani of a sheep. We shouldn't, of course, now place our knees and put our entire body weight on it now, just to keep it secure so it doesn't happen, and in the process the animal suffers even more.
Yes, 100%, Munasab. You know, all of this should be taken into consideration, and mercy must be shown towards these animals, because as you've mentioned, that the one who shows mercy towards these animals and to fellow Muslims in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers mercy upon that person as well.
Subhanallah. This is directly from the hadith of Rasulullah.
Yes.
Beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once a companion came to the Beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I show mercy towards the goat when I am slaughtering it."
Subhanallah.
The Beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam told this companion that if you show mercy towards it, Allah Azza wa Jal will show mercy towards you.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So this mercy towards the animal, even in slaughtering the animal,
right,
there are precautions that are given, as was mentioned regarding the sharpening of the knife, regarding not slaughtering an animal in front of other animals, regarding not sharpening the knife in the presence of the animal, regarding how we hold the animal as well, that we don't place too much of pressure upon the animal. In some cases, we find that where mass slaughtering is taking place, some people tend to. I'm not saying that this is specific to Qurbani. Rather, in general, people do tend to, in certain areas, when slaughtering different animals, give shocks to the animal, electrocute, just so the animal stops moving. But how much of difficulty the animal is being placed in. So this should be avoided completely. Shocking an animal and placing it in any other sort of difficulty in order for the animal not to move. In fact, the movement of that animal a little bit, movement of the limbs of the animal is also good. In which way is it good? It's good that it helps the blood to flow out,
right,
so that the meat is blood free. The toxins of the blood are no longer there. However, at the same time, you've got to balance it in such a way that you haven't left the animal so loose that you cannot manage to do qurbani properly, and that puts the animal through even further difficulty and further pain. It's important that the person who is doing dhibah, who is doing the qurbani of the animal, learns how to do qurbani. There is the method, there are ways, it's a field on its own, there are experts in it. And therefore, learn from those who do know. You should ask those who do know if you do not know, and learn from them. So that before you do dhibah, so that before you make qurbani, you are well equipped with the knowledge of how to do qurbani. In that way, inshallah, you will cause the least amount of pain possible to the animal. If you do not know how to do dhibah and you're just going to take a chance, then you could cause lots of difficulty. If it is difficult for you to be able to do the dhibah, then request someone who can do it well and let that person do the dhibah, because it's wonderful that you experience that yourself in doing the dhibah of the animal.
Yes.
But it is also more important that the animal be placed to rest with ease, not with difficulty. So the dhibah should be a swift process. As quick as possible, it should be done in keeping with the rulings given by the Sharia of the recitation of Bismillah,
right,
taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the animal is carried away. When the animal is carried away or moved away from the area of dhibah, the area of qurbani, then it's left to rest for a little while. And that little while is also important, because there is still some sort of movement from the animal. There is still some sort of, sometimes there is still some amount of feeling in the animal. So it's important that the animal is left until it becomes motionless. At times, in some areas, you may notice that people would start the skinning process very quickly, whilst there is still some movement and some kicking. This is not to be done. That little haste could be causing difficulty to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we could be held responsible for that oppression against a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who could not defend itself. The dua or the bad dua, even if an animal that is oppressed is answered. If an animal is being oppressed and it gives any bad dua, that is answered as well. If it curses, that is answered as well. We do not want to receive the curse of these animals. And remember, the curse, the bad dua of those animals is very severe, because who else can they stand in front of? Who else can they request? We, if someone oppresses or hurts us, we could take it to the court, to the law. And in different countries, you have the police force that can step in. But this animal, which police force is it going to go to? Which court is it going to go to? The only court this animal has, it goes to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It requests in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it is demanding its haq, it's demanding its own haq, its own right in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes us for that oppression towards that animal, then what will we do? Then we will be in a position of difficulty. Therefore, pay attention to these things. We must pay attention to these things and treat the animal with utmost kindness and with utmost love. Think that this animal that I'm slaughtering, I need it on Yawmul Qiyamah.
Yes.
On the Day of Judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Sayyidah Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha that she should bring her qurbani animal. She should be close to it, that her sins would be forgiven before the blood touches the ground. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also advised that on the Day of Qiyamah, this animal will come in such a way that it will be brought where its blood and its limbs will be multiplied, the weight will be multiplied by 70, and that would go onto our scale of good deeds. There's also glad tidings that that very animal will be our means of crossing the bridge of Sirat. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. So think that I am now treating something that I'm going to need on Yawmul Qiyamah. How should I treat it? I should treat it in such a way, how I want it to have mercy upon me when it is taking me across the bridge of Sirat. Today I should have mercy upon it.
Subhanallah. Sayyidi, we can think of it in worldly terms that let's say, for example, our convenience in this world, people move by cars, by bikes, right? These are our modes of transport generally on an individual basis. And some people we find they take such good care of their cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's always shining in the pristine condition.
Subhanallah.
Always being serviced on time. All the precautions are taken just to travel from Durban to Johannesburg.
Allahu Akbar.
In some cases, that is roughly 500 kilometers. And that bridge of Sirat, Allahu Akbar, how long that journey is, that bridge is built on top of hell, and this is no ordinary road. This is the road that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that the bridge of Sirat, it is sharper than the blade of sword, and it is thinner than the strand of hair.
Allahu Akbar.
This is built on top of Jahannam, and it is a lengthy road, and it will be dependent on your amal, on your actions. If the actions are not good, it may take us very long. But if the actions are good, if the amal are saliha, then inshallah azza wa jal will move swiftly on the bridge of Sirat. The qurbani animal, as Muasab has mentioned, it can help and be our transport. Imagine treading that path, that bridge. It is almost impossible. You can't even imagine how we're going to cross that bridge of Sirat except by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The qurbani animal will be there to assist us as our mode of transport. The durood that we recite upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will come in the form of nur on the bridge of Sirat, Allahu Akbar. And the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be there making dua for us for a safe passage, reciting Rabbi Sallim, Rabbi Sallim, Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us safely on the bridge of Sirat through the virtues of our qurbani and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we have a beautiful madani pool and clip for you. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
When the blessed month Zulhijjah al-Haram arrives, people are eager to worship Allah, people are eager to do zikr of Allah, because the ahadith mention the virtues of doing so. But also in this blessed month, on the 10th of Zulhijjah al-Haram, across the globe, people are celebrating Yawmul Eid, Eidul Adha, the Eid of sacrifice. Now, the word used for sacrifice is Qurbani in many parts of the world. And in Arabic, the word Udhiyah is used. Now, Qurbani, there are so many virtues. And in fact, if a person reaches or meets certain conditions, it becomes wajib upon him to give Qurban. The ulama have stated those conditions within their books. But what is the fadila? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala states in verse number 2 of Surah Al-Kawthar, in Para 30. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرُ. So offer salah for your Lord and sacrifice. In Tafsir Kabir, Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi writes in the commentary of this verse, the Hanafi scholars have taken this verse as a proof that ritual animal sacrifice is wajib. And of course, like I said, there are conditions for this. And there are many misconceptions regarding the qurbani as well. Some people think that if the qurbani is wajib upon numerous people in the household, just giving one qurbani or sacrificing one animal will suffice for everyone. No, that's not how it works. It will be individually wajib upon all those who meet the conditions. So there's a lot we can learn regarding qurbani. But the fadila stated in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed qurbani for his Lord. We are to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fulfilling this necessity of the religion. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back to your viewers. Alhamdulillah, I hope you've learned a great deal with this clip. Alhamdulillah. And now this is the end of our journey now for this silsila, the festival of sacrifice. Like every good thing in the world, this also comes to an end, inshallah azza wa jal. But Madani channel is there, it will continue. Keep watching Madani channel. There are beautiful silsilas, there are Madani muzakaras by His Eminence Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliya every Saturday evening. You can tune in, inshallah azza wa jal, on your YouTube, on your Facebook pages, as well as on your TV screens, where there's cable television in whichever country, particularly in the UK and other areas of the world where Madani channel is available via the cable television, inshallah. And keep watching Madani channel, keep reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your Hajj, accept your Umrah, accept your Hazri in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your Qurbani for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. And Jazakallah to our alhamdulillah guests, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani, Maulana Ziyad Madani, Hafizahum Allah, and to all our viewers, alhamdulillah, for supporting us all this while, and mashallah, remaining with us on this journey. Hopefully, inshallah azza wa jal, we shall see you soon in some other silsila. Until then, keep reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Hajj journey complete, sacrifice marks the day, Eid al-Adha spread, lights the believer's way. Eid al-Adha spread, lights the believer's way.